Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes we fly, sometimes we fall. Sometimes I feel like we're nothing at all. Dreaming the light, dancing the dark. You feel the spaces inside of my heart.
Welcome you to Monday night. The show is titled Garden of Enlightenment, and we will be doing front page picks with this exceptional poetry and also delving into open poetry, which I just love. And so, you know, call in to read, enjoy the show, and listen. And I want to say hey to everybody that's out on the board, especially out in Europe, Selena and my Scottish girl, Weaver. Weaver Dreams, and she is my right-hand girl. Well, hi, Weaver.
Hello, my darling.
Welcome to the show. And just to let you know a little bit about us, you can find us on allpoetry.com. Our group name is Late Night Poets, and you can also find all the poems that have been collected worldwide to support these radio shows, and you can find them on Amazon.com. They're thick. They're beautiful, and they're affordable and make great gifts. And just like our show, Late Night Poets Anthology. So please go and check that out. So I'm going to start picking up the telephone from all our callers. And also our group, we post the poems. And the people from Europe and different places who can't call in, they write and make comments in the group. And so join All Poetry and join our group. And with a great group of poets. So let me go ahead and start picking up callers. And we have caller 707. Who am I speaking with?
Irish Rose.
Hi, Irish Rose. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing good. So happy to have you. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I already know who this is. Oh, no. What is that? Ooh, Laurent? Laurent, what? Is that an alarm going off? Laurent?
No. Not me.
I sound like I'm talking to you in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it's weird.
Somebody has a radio on or something, I think, because we're getting
feedback. No, it sounds like... Laurent? Your phone is making a noise like you've got a fire alarm going off, and there's a really deep echo. Could you call back, please? Okay, let's see. Okay, Laurent, are you still there? And also to let you know, I saw that several phone calls dropped. I want you to know that the system does do that. It even drops us, the host. So if for any reason you got dropped, we don't drop our callers. So please call back. We can hear you better now, Laurent. Oh, my goodness. Are you there, Laurent? Are you on mute?
Ooh,
I don't know what's going on. Okay, well, hopefully you'll get that fixed. And caller 778 is my left-hand man, Gray I. Smith. He's also one of our radio hosts. Hey, Gray. Gray, is that you? Gray? Whoa. Oh, my goodness. What is happening?
This is getting
Gray?
Spooky.
Gray, woo, you to the who?
Could be the storm.
I don't hear Gray either.
No.
He must be on mute or he's in the kitchen somewhere getting something to eat. Okay. So for whatever reason, your phones are all hinky, wacky, doodles, doesn't matter. Please call us back. And Gray just dropped. Oh, my goodness. It just might be a threesome tonight with his girls.
Okay.
Okay. So while we're waiting for the men to show back up, let's go ahead and start. Okay, wait, I got another caller. Oh, they're all coming back. Ooh, hold on. Okay. Caller 512. Frank? Yes, I can hear you now. You're just going, we can hear you, but you just need to going to talk louder, corazón. Because you sound like we're talking to you far away, okay? But we do hear you, and you are on.
Yeah.
And let me pick up.
My headphones, I had to change them. If anything happens with the connection, then just know that it's not my fault. It's not my it goes away.
Okay.
Suddenly.
Yeah, it does sound like we're talking to you far away. Okay, let me go ahead and pick up our Laurent. Laurent?
Hey, hello.
Oh, I'm telling you, it sounded like fire alarms were going off in your house. And that
was
my
Nokia 300. I just threw it out the window. Literally.
Oh, yeah, it did. Literally, it sounded like we were talking to you in a different parallel.
Crap.
A different parallel universe.
It.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm glad you called back, and we couldn't even hear Gray either, so let me pick him up. Gray, are you there?
I am. Hello to you.
Okay.
Oh, good.
All right. And anybody else that called in, you know, please call back if you got dropped. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and start, Katie. Let's get going.
Okay. The first one we have is... Time's Slippery Fins by A.R. Mundell. And Rose, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure, thank you so much for the pleasure. Begin poem, Time's Slippery Fins by A.R. Mundell. I don't trust time, it's a slippery fish. It gets faster and faster the more you wish for a moment of mercy, a moment to spare. Instead, it spits in your face and sprints off like a hare. Then there are times when you wish it was quick. You wish for that rabbit to make those hands tick. Yes, this is the time he chooses to stay, to burrow inside, sleeping away. Shen, you watch, but the clock doesn't strike. Haul from its waters. You grasp and gasp like a pike. In poem.
Oh, my goodness. You read that so beautifully, Irish Rose. You have a beautiful voice for reading poetry. And
thank you.
You know what? I you're welcome. I saw that she got several gold medals on this poem, and it's well deserved. I really liked where she says, then there are times you wish it was quick. You wish for that rabbit to make those hands tick. I really loved her rhyme scheme here. This was a fantastic poem. And so now we're going to get some comments. And since we have enough readers and commenters, I don't know why it's doing that. And we're going to go three comments per poem so we can get to this beautiful, amazing list of poetry. Katie, you are next to comment. What did you like about Amy's poem?
I liked everything about it. Wonderful. I love the title, Time Slippery Fins. Very, very good. And she says in her AN, inspired by the time blindness symptoms of my ADHD, I've had a distrustful relationship with my whole life. So obviously this is an issue with being aware of time going and time, because time does, it speeds up and it slows down. It does
yeah.
that frequently. So I can understand this entirely. And if you have a problem with that part of it, yes, it would be very difficult because you've got to just live with, I mean, time is artificial anyway. You know, it's a man-made thing, the hours and the minutes. In the olden days, they used to get up when it was light and go to bed when it was dark, and that was it. That was their time. So, yes, we have a difficult time keeping up with time, but I think she did this wonderfully. It's a beautiful piece of poetry. Thank you, Amy.
Agreed. Thank you, Katie. And our last commenter is going to be Laurent.
I think this is very skillfully done and ultimately relatable. The metaphor of the fish and the rabbit are perfect ones to choose. Everyone has thought of them more or less in that way. But what I really like about this is a poem, yes, but I think this is a rap poem. I don't trust time. It's a slippery fish. It gets faster and faster. The more you wish for a moment of mercy, a moment to spare, instead it spits your face and spits off like a hare. I love that rhythm. Great poem.
Thank you, Laurent. Excellent comment. And thank you, Amy. Congratulations on your front page pick. And now we are ready for our next poem.
I've got to keep remembering to press that little button. I'm not going to be mutating tonight. So we've got Seeds of Resurrection. Seeds of Resurrection and by Chinaski. And this has got a SoundCloud. So I wonder perhaps if Gray would help us out with that, please.
Yes, you bet.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay, see you tonight. Okay, here we go.
Tiny trickling water shoved off a cliff. Aromatic flowers are carpet gates and mounts an entrance to a watery pool. Underneath, we swim as aquatic insects, naked as tribal animals, cleansing unforgivable arrogance, suffocating remnants resembling theaters, testifying to hungry leisure. And we become guilty participants, witness to what we've become, turning backs on starving ghettos, pinning bright yellow stars on torn, raggy remnants of our existence. Silhouettes silently sit, as sundial wheels turn, we watch. Spring seeds sprout, reaching out with rooted arms, extended fingertips, barely touching azure. They want to become that aged tree, bearing fruits, nourishing the forest. At last, not in vain, as we are brought together in union, swallowing immediately pursed pillows, pressed against our skin, metamorphed human cages, hollow cocoons whistling in wind, rusted dove hinges rocking back and forth, and then that scribble decomposed with a new beginning underneath the dirt.
Well, what a fantastic poem and excellent sound class. So let's get some comments. Irish Rose, you're the first comment.
Oh, my goodness. I loved everything about this poem. The imagery was just off the hook. And the flow of the poem itself was just so easy to follow. And it just was easy. It was like a projector in my head of images, you know, in a movie going. And I love the word choices that he used, especially. And his closing stanza, metamorphosed human cages, hollow cocoons, whistling in wind, rusted dove hinges, rocking back and forth, and in that's crippled, decomposed, with a new beginning underneath the dirt. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, so awesome to finally bring it all together and just solidify it. I love this. Great, right?
Great. Yeah, his poetry is just like him, musical. Gray, would you read his author's notes and make a comment, please? You're next.
Sure. His author's note says, although we are objects printed into a framed moment, desperately seeking preservation of our species, winning or losing this challenge, at the very least, we are brought together. And that's the end of the comment. But I really enjoyed it. You know, it had fantastic imagery. The flow was beautiful, as his read was as well. But I really like, and we become guilty participants, witness to what we have become, turning backs on starving ghettos, pinned bright yellow stars on torn, raggy remnants of our existence. Silhouettes silently sit as sundial wheels turn, we watch. Yeah, just an amazing poem throughout. Beautifully done, Cal.
Great comment, Gray. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think of Chinaski's poem?
I thought the poem was very, the message of it was very, how would I say, it just had a message to it that made it very potent. You know, you talk about resurrection, you talk about how we die and we, you know, our ashes, and you know, we don't offer seed, you know, for rebirth, and what he's describing here. He described the beautiful thing that human nature combined well as an excellent written poem with his family. So worth the listening.
Frank, that was a great comment, what I could hear. Was anybody else having issues hearing him, or is it just me?
No, I just couldn't hear him.
I can't hear him.
Yeah. Frank, if you can, I'm going to ask you to talk louder because it's very hard to hear you. Very muffled, please. Okay? All right. And I was looking at one of Chinaski's comments. He was thanking one of his friends who commented, and he says, one good thing about those of us that want our legacy to be remembered as nourishing the earth. And, you know, I agree with that. We're killing Mother Nature. Okay, so we're ready for our next poem, Kitty.
Okay, next one. Oh, he's dropped. Stein's dropped. Right, so the next one we have, is yours, my dear. This is Mirrored Pain by our dearest Luya. Would you be so kind as to read it for us?
Yeah, I picked this prompt too. Love can darken a soul, remove its innocent beauty to bleed openly, but the unexperienced can also darken the game player with the ability to blind. Mirror images of love transforming into the battle of pain. You, I, mirrored pain, painful I, hearing winds beating the scented, fragile, blushing flowers, bent over, resting on deep, green grasping vines against my dusty stained window. Tortured, you, distant familiar drums rolling across the darkening sky, beating your agonizing head, for you are alone again, feeling the suffering of internal crippling anguish. I, standing head bowed as blustery torrents twist and bend to the impending storm, tearing the green life of the trees and rounded bushes of succulent limbs, ripping and shredding my life just as easily. You, abandoned and alone among people who deal the same deadly weapon of the invisible serrated razor-sharp scalpel for dissection of your torturous formations, your skilled art. I drop to my weakened knees under the full moon, rolling in fetal position. She calls for me to reflect her milky loneliness. My face only reflects the blackness that the moon swims in. You, the desert sand stings, blasting the dripping acid of your words, deeply voiced, mirrored pain and misery. You collapse on the icy patterned tile squares so slick beneath your broken self. Dancing cyclone, trampling, howling gusts scream across my body, pulling me to the carved wooden door. There, your bladed scaffold of masterful art smears bloody street pattern memory. You, as your fingers split, lip and paint pattern shadows in crimson red, my love hemorrhages, coloring the shiny tile, filling the colored edges, squared caulking in thin puddles. I, ominous developing moving clouds of rapidly flashing recollections, your dead sight moving over my unseeing eyes that had hidden your enterprise of agility, the game, reflecting the images of my once happy face, tears drop expanding the cardinal glistening pond. You, gloomy thunderheads billow angrily with mammoth rumbling, stirring towards you as great buffaloes stampede on their prairie, threatening and hostile. My anger comes as the wet breath that floats from the beast's nose is white, vindicated clouds of steam. I, translucent embryo, halo brilliant with her rounded ancient face, the old moon above, the hot, heated steam cells upon hovering a sheer, impermeable veil above my bleeding soul, awaiting rebirth. You, winds of pain, will cut open their own lacerations and whipping limbs, painting your gallery exhibition of anesthetized heart with your withered, miserable, empty, cracked human vase in your own designed, loveless pit of eternal cycles of emptiness. Alone in poem. Katie, can you do the, you give the comments, please?
No problem, my darling. Can I first of all say, beautifully read, and so emotive. Oh, I am speechless is about what I am. Okay, let's go. Irish Rose, would you like to comment, please?
Wow. this was just so full of emotion and pain and sorrow and deep reflection. And you really nailed this prompt right on the head. And the depth that you took it to was just quite amazing and palpable. And I can only say that I was just lost in the emotions of feeling this, that I was feeling this and identifying with it and thinking of the things that I've experienced in my life that reflect back into what you were saying. And it was thoroughly enjoyable in a most dark way. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you, Ira. Thank you, Rose.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Rose. And Gray, would you give us your comments, please?
Sure. I mean, the pain is palpable in this, right? You can feel it coming out of every line. And, you know, I really enjoyed the back and forth between you and I, both suffering their different pain and reflection of that pain. So just a beautiful, beautiful read, Lou, and a fantastic write.
Thank you, Gray.
Thank you, Gray. That's exactly what it was, beautiful. And Laurent, would you care to give us your comment, please?
I certainly would. I honestly was immediately struck by a resemblance to the styles. Nothing stolen, of course, just to the styles of Ferlinghetti and Ginsberg in this piece. It's a journey through the mind of higher consciousness. It's a blood river of words that sear flesh. It exposes insides, fears, beginnings, endings. It's immersive writing that brings the reader back for a second and a third read. It's just marvelously textured and layered. As you read it, you almost want to stop reading because you want to digest what you've read so far. But when you're listening to someone read it as well as you did, it's a train ride that you can't get off. It's a carousel that won't stop spinning. And you come to the end of it and you go, wow. Right? Just a fantastic write, my dear.
Thank you, Laurent. Well, I think you'll be glad that I didn't make any comments because I'm practically in tears. I'm going to hand it back to you now, and I'll put the next one up for you, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Well, yeah. Pleasure.
It was beautiful. Really was. Really touching. Okay. Next one we have Orpheum Dream by Cedar Chapman. And Laurent, would you read this for us, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Don't do this to me, computer. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I have a computer and a phone tonight. It's a bit of a pain in the bum. All right. Orpheum's Dream by Mr. Chapman. I've lived a lifetime filled with empty seats and weathered newsprint told by tombstones. Fame hungers for youthful, taut skin, not lusterless hair colored with pencil dye by a starving sidewalk artist. As I scrape bone meal plaster off my face, deep canyon wrinkles crack the mirror standing before me. Each line forged from years of songless somersaults and cheap boxed wine. I stand behind a shower curtain, drawn closed under flickering fluorescent spotlights, grasping on core finality while gray water swirls down the drain. A black Delilah pantomime. Withered, old, with no time for regrets, clutching on his dream. And
you read this fantastic, what a fantastic read of Cedar's poem. And let's start getting some comments. And Katie, you are first to comment. Katie?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I did it.
Oh, no, the phone.
I'm muted. I'm so sorry. Oh. You're a fright. I'm so sorry. I am an idiot. And I was being so interesting and I was being so clever and erudite and giving it all. And I have to repeat it and it'll sound crap. Okay. As I was saying to myself, oh, that's wrong. This picture gives you the whole of the story right in front of you. You know what to expect. It's going to be sad. It's going to be somebody who's older and beginning to feel as though their life has passed them by. And, you know, when you get older, you become invisible. I don't know if anybody knows this, but it's a fact. So this is obviously what this is happening at the moment. Fame hungers for youthful, taut skin, not lusterless hair colored with pencil, dyed by a starving sidewalk artist. Oh, my goodness. That's so sad. So then we get to my favorite, which is always that last stanza. Now, that's a cracker, mate. A black dahlia pantomime, withered, old, with no time for regrets, clutching onto his dream. Ah, beautifully done. Very well written, and so much of the life of that person comes to you in these words. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Cedar. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Katie. Wonderful comment. Irish Rose, your next comment.
Oh, thank you. I really like the way he plumbed the depths of aging with his imagery. Lifetime filled with empty seats, hungering for his youthful taut skin, scraping bone meal plaster off his face, watching the forged years of song with somersaults and cheap box wine. And then at the very bottom, the last stanza, a black dahlia pantomime, withered, old, no time for regrets, clutching onto his dream. And that is so much like how aging is, as we go into gently and sometimes screaming into that good night. and we start to really realize that, my goodness sakes, where did all the years go? And where did all the time just kind of vanished? And now you're left with what you are. And I really enjoyed this, the way he expressed aging. It was just a unique way. Thank you.
When I get, you know, just listening to all your comments, you know, to me, wrinkles have never been something that is I've hated. It's, to me, it's the character lines of life, the smile lines, and that, you know, especially on men, they're, you know, I find men that age very attractive. And, you know, sometimes I think we're so hard, you know, I was just listening to Irish Rose, you know, about those deep canyon wrinkles, you know, so, yeah, it is hard. You know, you look in the mirror and you're going, oh man, who the hell is that?
Where'd that come from?
You know, but after a cup of coffee and, you know, they do. Older people tend to be ignored. I do agree, but I also believe it's how you are. You know, for example, Gray's mother, she's all into this, you know, bohemian stuff and all this, you know, just she loves that type of clothing. And, you know, she shines in her age. And, you know, if I really think about it, do I really want to go back and experience all that stuff I went through? Hell no. You know, I'm actually, you know, besides, you know, not being able to jump out of bed instead of having to roll out of bed, you know, I do find aging, that the silver hair, the white hair, you know, it you know, the scriptures say it's our crown. And I do believe you're beautiful. It fascinates me. And I really enjoyed this poem, and it sounds like he needs a big hug and a cup of coffee and a couple of kisses, and you'll be good to go with those little wrinkles. You know, that's just the way I see it. Laurent, what do you think?
It was a brilliant write. It's a sad little poem that penetrates dreams.
Yes, it is.
Wilting under the hot lights of the fabled Orpheum Theater. And then that phrase, songless somersault. Oh, it says so much. Bravo, my friend.
Yeah, I agree. And if you've got wrinkles and some gray hair and you feel lonely, join Late Night Poets. We love your poetry. We love your comments, and we love your reading.
Wonderful.
Join the show. And Gray, what do you think?
You did a fantastic job reading the poem, Laurent. And I really enjoyed the imagery, you know, the the imagery and the message, you know, it's hard to get old, you know, regardless of whether other people think it might be great that you have wrinkles and stuff. When you look in the mirror, you don't see that, and you don't feel that.
Oh, the man who's a perpetual 18-year-old, no matter how old he gets, right?
Yeah.
Well, I do have to tell you that Gray has told me since I harass him so much that I have given him gray hairs, and I just want him to know he's even more handsome than he was before.
Yeah, thank you. A recovery.
Dude, chicken. You know,
yeah.
No matter how old a chicken is, we got to run around the rooster. Yeah. So. Okay, we're ready for our next poem, Katie. Excellent poem, Peter, and wonderful read, Laurent.
Okay, our next one is Bright Days and Dark Nights by Poetic Creations. And I'll give this one a read if nobody minds too much. I can get it open. Oh, here we go. All right. Bright Days and Dark Nights. Chipper is the skipper butterfly as people on bicycles pass on by. Dogs are obedient, cats climb, camouflage, whippoorwillows hide. Up a mountain, hiking hikers hike, before the setting sun nose dies. Wet clothes dry on a clothesline, warmed by bright rays of sunshine. Through dark sky, winged like kites, barn owls sing a symphony tonight. Barks, whistles, coos and cries, whooping hooters, hollers, though shy. Cottonwood trees, snow to July, crows join in a murder full of delight. Scarecrows in fields bring fright, while mothers hold their babies tight. End poem.
Wow.
Lovely.
You did a fabulous reading poem. Excellent. Let's get some comments. What did you think about the poem, Gray Eyes?
Well, Katie, you did a beautiful job of reading that poem, but I really like the imagery and, you know, the switch between bright days and dark nights. You know, through dark sky, wings like kites, barn owls sing a symphony tonight. Barks, whistles, coos, and cries, whooping hooters, hollers still shy. You know, it's fantastic imagery throughout this poem. I thought he captured it, the prompt, quite beautifully. And it was just a fantastic write.
Thank you, Greg. Excellent comment. And Ron?
Yeah, this is an interesting little poem. It experiments with rhyme, certain scenes that I find very appealing. I like the way she organizes her words. Up a mountain, hiking, hikers hike, before the setting sun nose dives. Wet clothes dry in a clothesline, warmed by bright eye, bright rays of sunshine. And then you contrast that, and then she begins to sing about dark sky wings, barn owls, and crows, and a murder full of delight. I love the contrasting imagery. Very inventive, very creative.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Laurent. And how about you, Iris Rose?
I really like the contrast of bright days and dark nights. It's like a yin and yang in nature here. And I also like the little catch rhymes, and the internal catch rhymes and the in rhymes that really make this have a nice little hook all the way through. And the word choices were just really done well. And it was a really enjoyable poem. And good read, Katie. Enjoyed it.
I agree. She did read this very well. I loved his rhyme scheme. Through the dark sky wings like kites, barn owls sing a symphony tonight. Barks, whistle, coos, and cries, whooping hooters, hollers still shy. It just made me smile. I really love that stanza.
Yes.
And how about you, Katie?
Oh, it was absolutely excellent. It was such a fun read. I want to write something like this because it looks so much fun. Wow, you're trying to get all these words, and it does. It has some rhythm to it and such a beat. And I tried to slow down. I talk fast, I know. I tried to slow down, but I couldn't. It just took me along with it. And then I got to that one you just said and thought, I can't do this. I can't read this because I'm going to kill myself. My tongue's going to slide away somewhere. But it, That's what it felt like. It really felt like it was going to choke me, but it was
now,
wonderful.
Now, come on, Katie.
Really...
You know you give me the poems that twist my tongue.
Well, it's fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It sure is.
I always pick things like this for myself as well, though, so it's not just you. I never get the easy ones. Not that I want the easy ones, because this is fun. So, yes, you did a wonderful
yes,
job.
It is.
I really enjoyed it. Wonderful.
Yes, you did. And you did a fantastic job in reading it. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okay, next we have, I like this title, You Are My Buttercup, I Got Immune To, My Hat. Great title. And Rose, would you care to read this for us, please?
Oh, sure.
I know
Thank
I'm working
you, so much.
You, but I know I'm working you too much.
That's
but
okay.
I can't help
it. You Are My Buttercup, I Got Immune To, by Hat. Begin poem. The old, ancient, and dead face of the moon peers into the lily cups from the depths of silence. I stare and howl at your moon. Come here and don't talk about guilt, love. Come under this broken apple tree. It burned by the lightning and survived. The apple tree is healed. This will rest on your painful mouth. I ache for naked truth as your naked body, breathing in the scent of your hair, and I am silent, floating only in your veins. End poem.
Oh, Irish Rose, you did such a beautiful read of Hat's poem. Let's get her some comments. Katie, what did you think about the poem?
Oh, beautifully done. I mean, really wonderful. That first stanza is so, the old, ancient, and dead face of the moon peers into the lily cups from the depths of silence. That has so much. It's actually, I thought it was kind of slightly menacing. I'm thinking, why are they being so silent? And then we go on and the howl of the moon. I thought, okay, people are talking, this is good. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very clever, very interesting. I love the way she doesn't have those lines, 1, 2, 3, 4. They move, they go across the page, which is wonderful. And also to highlight some words, which is, I'm trying to figure out if this is a code.
Mm-hmm.
Depths, you're healed, my naked body. Oh, yeah, okay, it's a code. And that last stanza, breathing in the scent of your hair, and I am silent, floating only in your veins. That's closeness. That's somebody who's really, really close. So I enjoyed it very much. And I think it was a bit of an experiment, because the AN says, I was inspired by artwork of our poet friend Buck, so I tried my shot of E.E. Cummings. So that's her. Very good. So I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, she did this nicely. It was wonderfully penned. I enjoyed, her feelings, the desire that was in here. That she just, this is not only it's a beautiful pinning as she has it here, like a work of art that she was writing to. And, she talks about, come here and don't talk about guilt, love. Come under this broken apple tree. It burned by the lightning and survived. Oh, and then she says the apple tree is healed. And then she says, my lips will rest on your painful mouth. Oh, fantastic imagery. And what did you think about the poem that you read, Irish Rose?
Oh, well, I think it was a blend of Cummings, like she was striving for, which I could see some of it in there. And then what I really wanted to see was I wanted to see the artwork by Buck. That would have, because it becomes a more almost an ekphrastic kind of expression, And but I think that her word choices and the flow that she had going on here was just really ample to just magnify the whole thing and bring it together. And I really enjoyed it.
Great. Thank you. And you did such a beautiful read of her poem, Irish. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Laurent, thank you a lot.
Fascinating piece. Oh, it says the old, ancient, and dead face of the moon. It's not normally the way the moon is described. From a normal perspective, it's and romantic, but here we have something that's exactly the opposite. I stare and howl on your moon as if her moon is different from his, again emphasizing how you could look at the moon as something dead to them, alive to others. And then don't talk about guilt. Guilt is something between them in the past. The broken apple tree by lightning and survived as if they had been burned by lightning as well and survived. The apple tree is healed. Perhaps we can heal as well. My lips will rest on your painful mouth. Is it the scar left by the lightning or the scar left by the relationship and aching for naked truth? Don't we all? And Katie spoke very well about the closeness demonstrated by the last stanza. Quite a remarkable piece.
Thank you. That beautiful comment and great.
You did a beautiful job of reading that, Irish. But, you know, I really enjoyed the poem, especially that opening stanza, the old, ancient, dead face of the moon peers into the lily cups from the depths of silence. I mean, that's the most powerful imagery right there. And then also, you know, the apple tree struck by lightning and having healed, you know, as a metaphor for herself and the pain that she's gone through and suffered. So I thought it was a fantastic poem.
It was. Thank you. Wonderful comment, Grace. And we're back to you, Weaver.
Okie dokie. Oh, I'm singing.
Girl,
though.
You're fat.
I know.
That's okay.
Oh, dear. Okay. Death Has Many Names by Arcana Armour. And this one has a sound cloud. I wonder if they would help us out with that, please. Mm-hmm.
Sure, you betcha.
Thank you.
Uno momento.
Okay.
So is this a collab?
I don't know, my dear. I'll just have a little look.
Okay.
I don't know. See? No.
Okay, here we go.
Eternal repose. Look tenth
Goodness, oh, Arcanon, this was just fabulous. It was eerie and dark. It was just a phenomenal piece of work. You know, those bells just they started ringing more towards the end, which just made you just tighten up in your breathing. You know, I just remembered when I was younger and I used to work, you know, Dark Shadows, that music. It was so eerie, and then that choral that was in the background just intensified his words, you know, especially when it started ringing more towards the end. The flies, night skies, on wing dismise, to swallow such spirits that seep and rise, though delivers thy kiss from pallid lips to caress the bowels of slumbering crypts. And his rhyme scheme is just even more fabulous. Even more delicious. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Oh, blimey, this guy, he is so good. I mean, I'm actually shivering. That voice. It was incredible. And the background sound, and as you say, those bells so beautifully timed to just start to become louder and louder. I thought it was phenomenal. I really did. I have to admit, I had to turn it down a little bit, but that's probably my poor old ears. But it was absolutely beautiful. Really was. Oh, dear. Usually I've got to turn things up. I love that. See somber shadows upon fearful face. No last reprieve from thine embrace. It's rhyming. Plucked forth, delivered unto thy realm. They're ferried by Charon's sullen helm. Ah, wonderful. Beautifully done, as ever. Arcanon, wonderful, and thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Katie. And Irish Rose, what did you think?
Oh, my God. Word about
him, yeah.
All right. I have to give him such kudos on the production first. I felt that the production and the way that it was mechanically put together was just extremely creative. And I love the rhyme scheme and the word choices that really emphasized the emotions. And to me, it gave me a feel of it's a cross between Revelations and Dungeons and Dragons. And I thought, whoa! So I really thought this was a really great piece of art. Really well done.
I agree. Thank you, Irish Rose. And how about you, Laurent?
Yeah, it's when I heard this was coming on, I had a candle on my desk, right? So I just leaned over and lit it and then flicked off the light. And I listened to that poem.
Ooh.
And the flickering candlelight, and it's dark.
Oh, no.
That helps, I'm telling you. This is my favorite kind of poetry. And you know what? It made my little boy feel very hard. This is my favorite kind of poetry. Classic English, properly used, gives this right its gravitas. Stunning presentation of death, eventually catching up with everybody.
Oh, Laurent, I got that image stuck in my head now. Oh, man. I'm going to behave because part of me doesn't want to. Your next thing.
Control yourself.
Yeah, his read was incredible on that, right? You know, the right was powerful and deep, you know, it really personified death in a fantastic way. So, incredible job.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Arcana. And we're back to you, Katie.
Okay, next we have Loves Impromptu by Titus Llewellyn. And there is a sound cloud for this as well, Gray, if you could, please.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Loves Impromptu. I do accept that the code of nature in my heart has been encouraged by a wide preconception. Hatreds, wholeheartedly mine, for which blame in parts. Some discomfort is shown, it's been invaded. Dense as a means to portray what is neglected. You'll have sunlight every day not to discover the meaning of life. Had you noticed, detected that my darkness undercover shows no other. I'm determined though to find what of sunlight. And for any other there is this smooth lackluster, passionate glimpse, something more than slight. Opening any wonder as to why I cannot muster. To penetrate as light by what it feels to gather. That things are holy now to contend myself. If not to forget love around me, a world rather forgotten, it has to impose upon merely health. Others seem unabashed. Where there is mention of money, another ill trait, for which this peril evolves around, it seems there is with intention, rising above the other, a hint of whose is feral. A love I can no doubt understand if being close, without you to attach whereby it were necessary, to match for detail spreading, love which rose, dissection of a nature not as sad but just as wary. I continue in the hope of lost abandonment, shy, why that is, existence is important to the likes. There are moments when unlike dark I can try, with much determined effort sunlight strikes.
Oh, there is another poet who just reads, and his poetry just touches you deeply. You know, I was reading some of his comments where he says that he was in one of his author's notes. He says, by spring 1986, my mind mistook with new identity, one which resembled darkness. After evicting Lilith, I chose a dreaded climb from densely riveled ivy, the penchant where the hedra would lead me to where the light of freedom was waiting. And then in his author's notes, you know, I was reading it that, you know, he says that that this was a span over 18 years from 1968 to 86. And he says, like an unnatural birth, unfounded, entangled by ivy, bound enough that all light is locked out. Metaphorically unloved, I suppose, hence the search, you know, and, you know, we can fall when we love somebody or we're looking for somebody to love. And we find that people have certain boundaries that they have. Right here, he was talking about the money. He says, others seem abashed. Where there is mention of money, another ill trait for which this peril evolves around. It seems there is this intention rising above the other, a hint of who is there. You know, there are people who just love money. They marry for money. They marry for want. And, you know, I was always raised by my mother,
who always told me I cannot take things to when I die, money, you know, gold, Cadillac, or coats, whatever. Whatever it is, you know, because love to something, people, is things, not a person. And when somebody can give you everything, their love, their heart, and you're rejected for certain things, you know, it's, to me, it's deeply painful. And this was such a beautiful read. And you could hear the sadness in Titus's voice, which, you know, touched me deeply. What did you think, Katie?
I agree. There was so much pathos. Beautifully written. I mean, obviously, this is something very close. I'm trying to find the bit you were talking about the money. You said money, and I'm trying to find it.
Well,
that would be. Oh, I've got it. Obviously, I'm abashed when there is mention of money. Yes, I think people do have their own boundaries. We tend to think that people will react the way we do. So you judge them by what you would expect to do or say. And when they don't, you're kind of astounded. You think, well, they don't think the same as I do. No, everybody doesn't think the same way. That's the beauty of it. And you have to be aware of other people's, the boundaries of what I worry about. You know, you can't go past, you can't roll over these, you can't knock them over. You have to understand there are certain things that mean things to certain people. And they will change if they want to, but you can't change any of that. So I thought that was just beautiful, beautifully written. And just, yeah, beautifully written and really enjoyable. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie. Wonderful comment. How about you, Irish Rose? What did you think of Titus's poem?
I can't really comment as Blog Talk kicked me out, so I didn't get to hear it.
Oh, okay. All right. Then I will get to you the next one, Lauren.
Now, if I said in the vernacular that people hate me because I'm a cold SOB, and I know I'm to blame, but, you know, come on, I'm trying and I feel stressed. Well, that's the vernacular of today. But how much, and that's like watching a 1910 motion picture in jerky motion out of focus, no sound, all right? But when you have, I do accept that the cold of nature in my heart has encouraged a wide preconception, hatred, wholeheartedly mine, for which blame in part, some discomfort is shown, it's been invaded. It's like watching a film in Technicolor and surround sound. That's the difference. God bless his writing.
Great. Thank you, Laurent. Thank you, Ingrid.
Yeah, he did a beautiful job of reading his poem, and I thought it was a beautiful write on the subject of finding love and, you know, the differences of love that people have, the different types for different things, like you said, love, whatever it is. I mean, money, whatever it is. And I thought he did a beautiful job with it, so excellent write. And fantastic read.
You know, and some people, you know, when we feel unloved, you know. What?
I have to call back. My dog needs to be walked.
Okay, all right. Okay, great.
Thank you.
You know, and when you feel that way sometimes, when you feel unloved, when you can't, the person doesn't love you for certain things, it does cause a dark depression. And, you know, you do get depressed. So, you know, I did find it very sad. Okay. Oh, my goodness. The callers are dropping like crazy. Okay. It's just four of us now. I don't know what's been wrong. If it's just all that back echo. Everything's been. But we're still here. So let's keep going.
Okay. Let's keep going. Sorry. New York Life by Xylophonic Blues. Right. Okay. Laurent, would you read this for us, please?
Yep.
Oh, thank you. I thought I'd disappeared.
No, we hear you. I know.
Okay. Be careful. Weird. Be careful. You may yet.
Oh, no.
Well,
don't say that. I don't want to go. I'm too young.
I've been out there already.
Oh, my God. Horrible feeling.
New York Life. Train ramps looked out over the street, rail bumps staring into the void, people's lives below. Streets, monochrome heartbeats as the headlights dance off puddles. Engineers envision skyscrapers, most distant outline. Tunnels with headlamps, wrenches doffed randomly. Little lights that shone from the windows. Veins and metro capillaries upon station's ventricle. Central Park sparrows gather as the turnstiles pulse. Lungs pushing air in and out, freed the passengers throughout to the stairs. Avenues amassing sweat, subterranean blood cells. Tenor men threaded in Friday night tweed, jazz ensemble. Stray cats for peas from windowsills. Modal iron fire escapes pulling us up before orange sunrise. East River bone crushing split the metro levee. Dusk falls over the far, catching notes behind closed Bronx doors. Bronze skin, little India, sing to your Chelsea boys. Harlem survivors paint the Hudson a new flag color. Lady Liberty called the blue note. Yellow cab patched the gushing lip with azure blue. Little Italy, immigrant song tied around her ring finger. Past is present, Irish green, rusted windswept beams. Brooklyn Bridge, fingers bled, black and white ivory keys. Jaw-breaking fists, building union men. The darkness covers potholes of couscous. Couscous. Lamb followed by a cappuccino as I walk marrow's brick pavements. Broadway artery sweats, subterranean blues. Restaurants, bustles of people. Waiters' fingers raw from climbing their spine. Furnishing shins crammed against its soul. Night lamp casts her halo upon spiraling dragonfly clocks. Rooftops overlook dandelion. Ground zero elements become midnight's stepstone flight. Eyebrows unguarded, high-wire tension shocks. Rock wall stairs, mirror edges train, blurs over the electric. The stranger at the gate walks in skyscraper shadows. Dewdrops upon rain sincerely. New York life loves once again. End poem.
No, Laurent, you did an excellent job in reading this poem by Xylophonic Blues. His details are just in every stanza. I really enjoyed so many of these veins and metro capillaries upon station's vehicle. Also, the tenor men threaded in Friday night's tweed jazz ensemble. Stray cats trapeze from windowsills. I really love that. The bronze skin, little India sings to your Chelsea boys. The Harlem survivors paint the Hudson a new flag color. There were so many stanzas in here. You know, the nightlight cast her halo upon spiraling dragonfly clocks. Oh, I thought that was gorgeous. That art style from, oh my goodness, the 1940s. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. But that's what it reminded me so much of. And I just thought this was just wonderfully penned and written. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, I agree with you. It basically taking us walking through
Like a tour. Way.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Walking through the streets and telling us what he remembers and he looks at and he thinks about. I kind of think of it as being something not of the moment, but something of a memory in a time that's not the time he's in at the moment, because it reads as though it's going back to the 30s and 40s, and not, he's not talking about the place now. That's maybe just the way I'm looking at it. Probably completely wrong, but I thought it was wonderful. The veins and mesial capillaries upon Station's ventricle. Wow, you know, Central Park sparrows gather as the turnstile pulse. That just, it's, I dare I say it, it's poetic. I've always wanted to say that. Yes, brilliant. Beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for the share.
Thank you. And how about you, Irish Rose? What did you think? Thank you, Katie.
Oh, I love this. It was a cornucopia of New York, you know. It was a walking, that's the way I felt. Because, mm-hmm. you know, if you've ever been to New York, when you go there, it's all like that. You know, all the sights, the sounds, the characters, the smells, tastes of food, entertainment, the flashing imagery, just captures you, you know, and it captivates you as a tourist or as a person that lives there. And I think that he did such an excellent job of encapsulating New York into this great poem. Really well done.
Agreed. And that style that I was talking about was the art. Oh, my goodness. I love that. It's one of my, oh, my goodness. I love that era. And the buildings and the artwork, the clothing, just everything. Thank you, Irish Rose. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Laurent?
I've got to say that Xylophonic knows the city. I lived in the Bronx for a time, and his imagery squares with my memory. Poetic devices and the form used were perfect for the poem's content. And I love the organic elements he used, because the city is a body, and the metaphor is vivid because they work so well. Fine, fine work.
Great, thank you. And we're back to you, Katie, the open poetry.
Oh, it's that time already. Oh,
since you already got Hope's poem up, let's go ahead and do it. Otherwise, let's stay in the rhythm that we've gotten so far.
Okay. Would you like to read the poem to you?
Hope says, may I call in to read my rights? Yes, you can, Hope. If you would like to call in, I'm watching the board. Sorry, Katie.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm waiting for you to call in, sweetheart. Hope, I don't know if you can hear me. I'm going to tell her yes.
Well, you could have somebody else do a poem, and then in the meantime, she can call in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. So I'm on to open poetry. I should start looking at the clock more often. Sorry about that. So we have Melancholia. Melancholia? Melancholia by Maliha. I shall read this one while we're waiting.
Okay.
So we've got it up there. Yes, we have. My goodness, somebody's working me well tonight. Melancholia. The state of unending isolation. With having despair, she dozed for a while, yet in blues and pensiveness. The eyes were promising, terrified, awed, and tragic, which couldn't be closed for a finer dream. Everything is monotonous, from life till death. She smiled, suicided, in hopelessness and hopefulness. She is the moon of beauty, which never perishes yet. How delightful was she, who adored everything. End poem.
Well, you did such a beautiful read of her brevity. Katie, so let's go ahead and get Maliha some comments. What did you think about her poem, Irish Rose?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. She really encapsulated the feeling of the sadness in the moon and in the scene itself. And talking about having despair, about the moon and the isolation. She dozed for a while, yet in blues and pensiveness. Eyes were promising, terrified, odd, and tragic, which couldn't be closed for a finer dream. And I really liked the way that it was, that she expressed the melancholy as it flowed through her poem, and it was soft, and it was colored with depression and sadness, and And she gets to the final lines, which she talks about, she is the moon of beauty, which is never, the metaphor, which is never perishes, yet how delightful was she who adorned everything. And that's so sad in the end. And I thought it was well.
Yes, it is. Yes, it was. Thank you so much, Irish Rose. And how about you, Laurent?
Superbly written piece. Looking at a state of unending isolation. I like the back and forth between the lines. Mm-hmm. The state of unending isolation with having despair. Everything is monotonous from life till death. She smiled two-sided in hopelessness and hopefulness. There's a back and forth throughout, even the eyes, terrified, awed, and tragic, which couldn't be closed for a finer dream. No matter what, she can't close your eyes, have what she sees now go away to be replaced by something better. Everything has become completely monotonous, and she does smile with the emotions of hopelessness and hopefulness. And despite the fact that she's mm-hmm. the moon of beauty, how much okay. more delightful was she when she was normal and she who adored everything. I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I loved the entire piece from the beginning, especially the end. You know, everybody has read the different lives. You know, I just, you know, you could just visually see this, how she was dozing and that, you know, that her eyes were promising and they were terrified, odd, and tragic, which couldn't be closed for a finer dream, you know, for that hope that you always have. And, you know, that smile that you put on the outside and that the deeper smile that's inside, but how you feel between life and death, the hopelessness and the hopefulness of just, you know, just living. I just thought this was just gorgeous. And we have several callers. Caller 830, who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Hope.
Oh, that's the first time I heard your voice. It's so pretty. Hola, hola, chula. welcome to the show. I'm so happy to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for calling in. Welcome, everybody. Say hi to Hope. It's the first time we heard her voice.
Hey, Hope.
Hello, Hope.
Nuno says hi as well.
Welcome.
Hi.
welcome.
I love Nuno.
And we have another caller, 203. Who am I speaking with?
Hi. Hello?
Yes.
Can you guys hear me?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, again.
I'm loving the show. You guys, oh, man, everything has been so good. My good friend Aaron is on here. He wanted to say some poetry, and I'm just really enjoying your guys' show so far.
Okay, thank you.
Hi.
Are you a member of Late
son?
Night?
No, my friend Aaron, he actually makes some really nice haikus, and he wanted to actually say a few of them for you guys.
Okay, all right. Can you hold on, please, because I have a Hope called in first, and
okay.
We would love to hear her poem. She's calling from where? Let us know
sure.
where you're calling from, Hope.
From the States, from Texas.
Welcome. Okay, sweetheart. Do you need Katie to repost your link?
Oh, no, I have it.
Okay. You have the mic.
This one is Death, Life, and Funerals. Another death in a row of stars that lit my night sky. The empty-handed condolences, mouthing words of grievances, tears blurring my eyes and smudging my velvet mascara. Why did I even bother curling these short, stubby lashes? Thoughts of blending in or putting on a face of a woman that could possibly hold herself together, I suppose. Morning brings out the liar in me. Even when I cradle the numb feeling that rocks this unstable body to a low drum of content, still I'm shattering. Once again, this house of cards tumbles through the rough carpet that lays under another casket where my brother was just laying not even a week to the day. The Hispanic idioms that tell tall tales of purgatory, rosary beads, seven or 12 mysteries, asking God to save their poor souls now that they've already passed on. Caucasian men taking on Spanish traditions for the sake of peace. Kisses on the cheek. We have to stop meeting like this. From one professional widow to another, it's always good to at least carry around a cotton handkerchief. Funeral masses always have cheap tissues that leave balls of fuzz across weeping faces. Open casket on Monday, Friday it will be closed. Ashes with no scent of rose. First pew or second row, praying to the Virgin Mother in this hour of need. Projections of memories light up across the beige wall. Not enough time to say to ease winter, spring, summer, or fall. Traditional burials are celebrating life. Signs of the cross to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Raising up the glass to the ones who've passed in the tearful curses of fuck cancer. Each time is different, but still the same. Barbecue under the pavilion at the town park at 3 p.m. Cold beers with cigarettes. Sipping psychedelic mushroom tea out of Japanese tea sets. Families all grieve differently. None are wrong. Who really knows how to handle death? As I sit alone, feet standing on the hard stone flooring with the full bottoms wheezing on a slab of granite, the funeral director questions me how difficult it must be to lose a father of my children in autumn, a brother last week, and now a grandmother. What is one supposed to say? I continue to tap away at this poem, hearing in the near distance a collective group of amens echoing from the connecting room. I guess that's all I could muster up to say. Amen.
You know, you did such a beautiful read of your poem. I'm so happy you called in. I'm excited to hear your voice for the first time. Would you like to make a comment about your poem before we start commenting?
Sure. I wrote this one at my grandmother's funeral just the week before my brother had passed away. And, like I had written in the poem, you know, thank you. And it had been like this past few months with so many deaths, so it's just about how witnessing how different people, how different traditions grieve, and that type of thing, and what was just going through my mind, because, you know, I don't know, I was feeling overwhelmed, and it was much different from when my children's father passed away, so it's just me just trying to, like, you know, work through it.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that is a lot to handle, Hope, and I'm so sorry that, you know, went through this. I loved how you put the traditions of the family in here, what you described, what you were going through, and what you saw, and, you know, it's there is no way to console everybody when people that are so important in your life, you know, that they pass away, and especially when they die from cancer. I know that, it is so hard to deal with family members and dying. I lost my cousin last year from COVID. My mother is a survivor of cancer, so I went through that, and I'm so sorry to hear that you've gone through that, and know that we love you. And mm-hmm. I thought this poem was beautiful. I loved all the details, everything that you talked about here, because it's something that for poetry for me is a release of my emotions, words that I normally cannot say. I can find them and sing them through my poems. And I thought that you did this so beautifully, and I am deeply sorry for your loss. Let's get you some comments, sweetheart. Katie?
Thank you.
Great job.
I cannot imagine how difficult it must have been. It's never easy, ever. You know, it just, but one after the other must have just knocked you for six. I am so sorry. It cannot ever be easy. And words, to be honest, although they're good to hear, words really can't help. It's just a matter mm-hmm. of you having the strength that you need to have, and you obviously have that. So I love your poem. I love the fact that you were talking about the different ways people do things, because everybody has, like, you know, their own way, and beautifully detailed as well, which I really like. So thank you so much for sharing. I'm finding it a little bit difficult to keep talking to us. So I'll stop. But it was really good.
Great job.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you. And Iris Rose, your next comment?
Yes. I just wanted to say that, first of all, I really thought that you did an excellent job doing your poem and reading it for us in these tough times that you faced, and that death is recognized in many cultures in many different ways. It's a point of departure, pardon the term, that we need to have to remember the old with new traditions that we create, so that when we face these circumstances and the future, that we remember how it was and how it felt and what we did. And in the remembering, that's what holds us together. And so I really wanted to give you the condolences and to let you know I do know how devastating it is to lose people back to back, as I have done the same. And it's really devastating. There's no other word to say it. And no one knows how the loss, but how you know it. And I know it differently from you, but I still grieve with you. And I just wanted to say that it will get better. But it will take time. Good job.
Yeah, and as the tears turned into happy memories, especially when I lost my grandmother to dementia, you remember, every time I pass downtown, I see the bakery. She used to get us bakery goods, and she would make us apples. And I the building where she lived, you know. And so it is like Irish Rose said. We all are grieving with you because we know these feelings.
Thank you,
Laura.
To make a quick comment. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All right. I just wanted to say that Pope is a hell of a writer. And it's true, like, you pull us in with metaphors, with descriptions, with feelings, with everything that a good writer should do. Like, I was listening to it, like, and I was there with you for your brother and all, not physically, but I was there over the phone, and I can put myself in the scenarios we were describing. Like, you're such a hell of a writer, and I hope you know this. I'll hand over the phone to you.
Thank you. Who was that?
No.
Oh my God, Nuno! It was great to hear your voice too. Gracias. Thank you, Nuno.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Okay, and Gray would
read a better lighthearted poem.
Okay, and then let me get you some more comments. Laurent?
Yeah, this was stunning in its entirety. The weight of too many passages of resignation before life's reality, the immersive flow of emotions that can only be realized through the experience of those events. Your losses have been many. I hope there are no more. Your writing is skillful and emotive, and the poem is epic.
No, thank you so much. And did you say you had a haiku you wanted to read?
Oh, yeah.
No, that wasn't me.
That was me.
Okay, who's me? What is your name?
It's me. My name's Joe. My friend
Aaron. Okay, say your name again.
My
what did you
Joe.
Say your name was? Joe. Yes.
Joe.
Okay. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Yeah.
You said that. You said that you had your friend had a haiku.
Yeah. Aaron. He's with me right now. Go ahead, Aaron. He's got a bunch of them. He wanted this. They're quick. And go ahead, Aaron.
They're quick. There's just a few of them, so I'm just gonna do them real quick. "'Twas sometime last month I took Emma to my room. She had a penis. My tongue is sweet tasting her dusty dark nibbit plum. Okay,
no.
What's that? Magical
no,
day.
No.
Quiet. Don't speak again.
Okay, I don't know who. Joe, I'm sorry, but we don't do that type of poetry on Monday night. Our central nights are on Wednesday. No, I'm sorry. And yeah, but that just, I cannot,
find who that is. I cannot stop. Okay. All right. I apologize for that. we don't do graphic poetry on Monday night. So let's just keep going. Katie?
Okay,
we are ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is Bill Wofford by our very own Laurent. Would you be so kind as to top this one, please?
What happened to mine?
Pardon? What?
Okay, go ahead. Laurent, did she put your poem up? I can't.
Yes.
Hello?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I really had trouble making out what you were saying. All right. This is called Still Waters. Why pay sorrow's pain its due? Leave it languishing. Bitter aftertaste swirling down memory's gutter drains into forgetfulness. Be the flower bending before wind and rain. Petals guiding downpours beyond the pain and rancor threatening to swallow us whole. Sit quietly as the violet twilight undresses, emerging demurely naked and pink into an amber dawn. Remain still as a dappled fawn, motionless, dawn's dew painting its coat with a warm frost that dwindles, softening into air. Embrace the solitude of self. Cast your awareness outwards like a fisherman's net to harvest life's balance, tranquil in its green growth. And should a sundered spirit quail, releasing its roiling flood, allow the seeds of the sun space necessary to the task. Sorrow's fletched arrows fly, only to be consumed by a sun's fire, twisted black sticks hanging blunted, broken and burnt, caught in the morning's webs, wrapped in silken body bags, ready for an ocean burial, without mourners or marker. Swirled to gray dust by an early morning zephyr, harbinger of peace, stirring the ashes of melancholic regret, a morose miasma pushed to the sea, subsumed at the last by still waters. End poem.
Oh my goodness, Laurent, this was so detailed. In the spiritual context of still waters, you know, the meditating, where, you know, I have found, especially getting older, that being in a place of quiet and allowing the energy to fill my broken pieces, because sometimes I feel so broken. And right here where you said, be the flower bending before wind and rain, petals guiding downpours beyond the pain and rancor threatening to swallow a soul. Sit quietly as the violet twilight undresses, emerging demurely naked and pink into the amber dawn. That feeling of refreshment and being reborn and being able to breathe and to, even though there's so much chaos around us, that we can find a silence in nature and within ourselves and meditate. And I thought that was so beautifully penned. I love those stanzas. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, beautifully read, and very, very interesting. I found it really interesting. We're talking about a movement from one area to another, from one type of life to another, transformation. Yeah, I liked it a lot. And thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And Irish Rose, what did you think of Laurent's poem?
Well, I thought it was starkly dark, but it retained the softness of a reality that really spoke to me. I think the colors of the imagery flowing in soft meditations, and you realize feelings of sorrow that speak volumes of loss of life, you know, your life, and the transformation that you know is going to happen as death is the stepping stone into the real reality of of another life of some sort. And I found it to be very profound and gripping and poignant. And I really like the few stanzas here. Embrace the solitude of self. Cast your awareness outwards like a fisherman's net to harvest life's balance, tranquil and green growth. And should a sundered spirit quail, releasing its royal flood, allow the seeds of the sun and space necessary to the task and the regeneration. And I really thought that that was just so harmonious, you know. And it really spoke a lot to me about the transformation that we all, you know, eventually will face. And it was really well done. Good job, Laura.
Thank you, Irish Rose. And Laura, would you like to say something about your poem?
Yeah, I've been writing some weird stuff lately. I'm sorry.
I didn't think it was weird. I liked it.
I'm trying to get back to some relatable roots, and I thought about self and peace, and pretty much said the hell with sorrow, let it languish. And then, of course, I began the second stanza with be the flower bending before the wind, and everything else kind of flowed after that.
Well, I enjoyed it very much. And what did you think about the poem, Gray? Thank you. And Gray, what did you think?
I thought it was epic. You know, he really captured the darkness of death and the tranquility of life. And but, you know, I really enjoyed that last line, subsumed at last by still waters. I mean, that's just haunting and epic. Beautifully done, Lauren. Excellent read as well. You bet.
Very good.
Great. Okay, Katie, we're ready for our next caller poem.
Okay, next one is, hang on, Spring Weeds and Me by Irish Rose. So, Rose, would you care to read this for us, please?
Okay, just a minute. Let me get to it. Hold on a second. I'm getting there. Oops. I had changed it. I had changed the... Okay, here we... I got it. All right, I'm there. Okay. Thank you very much. I have it. All right. Spring Weeds and Me by Iris Rose. Begin poem. I felt a warm spring breeze yesterday as I pulled tough weeds, threaded roots buried very deep in a long string, much like me, old life deftly clings tenaciously, intertwined tightly to familiarity, woven in thick tangled wads, carefully rooted around rocky sod. They are the old beings established with root systems clinging, making my old fingers stretch, clearing messy, regretful weeds, making sure that root toes don't last until the harvest of seeds, buried up to a foot deep, or maybe they're diving to down to Beijing, clinging to bark mulchy tombs, buried long ago, years lost by me. They are survivors of climate change, a cankerous human thing. Silently I curse their long, stout stems, knowing how they believe in the age of their abilities, defiantly sprouted with broad, bold leaves, catching the rays of sun and rain, defiantly drinking them, and sin. The old ones sprout their bushy beards to sharp, stickery things as they reminisce about the years, pitting them against me, pricking my bare arthritic fingers, jubilantly they laugh at me. They are devils, these weeds, so strong and impressively free, defying snow, rain, frost, spray, and me, belligerent old beings. They are the real bona fide OGs that will survive everything, even the apocalypse of all things. There they'll be, standing. I put on gloves, floppy hat, and sunscreen of SPF 50. Old me, armed in my familiar feelings, guarding my vain liberties, yanking out deep goat heads, dandelions, and scissor weeds. Their bones are hard and brittle, breaking, cracking when freed, bleeding a white latex substance into the ground, then on me, staining my gloves and jeans with their familiar memories, but they aren't free. I've just killed them, temporarily transformed. The more I change, the longer they will remain unchanged. And life moves on to its next life season, with or without me, in poem.
You know, you're such a beautiful reader. You know, the imagery in here is, you know, it's just fantastic. I like how, just like life, weeds, you know, got milkweeds, oh, dandelion. I mean, everything grows except what you planted, you know, and it's the same thing with life. We try to go through life just like with those weeds, you know, some pesky things keep returning year after year, just like those weeds, and it just seems like the weeds are getting deeper and deeper and deeper, even when I soak them. There is one of the weeds that you were talking about here. We call it a pigweed. And it just grows like crazy all over the place here. But my grandmother in Mexico and in Spain, she told me that they used to go by the river and they would catch fresh fish, and they would they called it pigweed. They would pull the pigweed. And this is what you reminded me of, my grandmother, pulling the pigweed, and it's healthier than spinach and collards and mustard greens, and you put it with onions and tomatoes, and it is the best greens you've ever eaten. And, you know, but of course, everybody sprays everything with poison. You can't eat it without poisoning yourself. But, you know, that bleeding white, ooze, sticky ooze that just gets everywhere. It's like a stain, and sometimes, like even a weed, you know, we have stains in our life that we can't get rid of, and some weeds we pull out, we can't pull them out because, you know, we can't get rid of those weeds because of certain reasons, and we just keep going year after year just to, you know, doing the best they can, doing the best we can with our life and what we've been given. And us loving nature, working with her. And I thought you did this so beautifully. And I really love this poem, Irish Rose. I really do. And,
thank you.
Laurent, thank you. And what did you think?
She fights the weeds, which are old life, deftly clinging tenaciously and applying tightly to familiarity. She views herself as being almost one with the weeds, because very much like me, much like me. And then silently I curse their long, stout stems, knowing how they believe in age of their abilities. She believes in herself the same way that she is that way through the weeds, which are the metaphor for her, and yet she's at the other end of the spectrum as well, attempting to rip them up and get rid of them, and the constant annoyances that come back. But unlike her, right now, they do come back. She will not.
Yeah, they do.
And I just love the way she explored the whole thing. As she tells the story of life, yours and theirs, with a natural ease and an awareness that is so relatable. It's difficult not to cheer for you, your pen finding an ideal metaphor for understanding our place and theirs in the natural world. It's wonderful work.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. I loved your comment, Laurent. Gray, I'd love to know what you think.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You know, I've never seen weeds in such light that you've brought this to. You know, it's all-encompassing. and you can really picture yourself out there with your floppy hat and your gloves and, you know, getting latex milk dripped on your jeans and your gloves. And, you know, I really pictured all this as you, as I read through it. So just a beautiful job, a fantastic read as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you so much. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Irish Rose?
Yeah, I had pulled some weeds out of about 6 days ago, and this thing was born that way. And I just I've had some tough ones to get out, and I really realized it's like, wow, this is so true to life that, you know, here I am looking at the land with all of this encompassing with all the weeds and stuff, and then I started thinking about all the things in my life, and I thought, who's going to survive this thing? It certainly won't be me. I might survive the day. I might survive the week, and I might survive 2 more years pulling more weeds. However, the devils will be back, and they'll be there for somebody else to pull, and they'll have to think
exactly
about their own weeds.
Can you imagine? They seed so fast. You can't get your flowers to do that as fast, but, you know, we
that's
have
right
to toil in the soil.
Yeah. I'm amazed. I'm just amazed about their skillful survival. That just blows my mind.
Agreed.
Somebody's weak.
Oh, man. Yeah, you wish you could pay somebody a lot of money. Well, I don't want to pay them a lot of money because I can't afford it. So you basically end up doing it yourself. Thanks, Irish Rose.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And we are ready for our next open poetry poem.
Okay.
Katie?
And, yes? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh. Am I very faint?
No, we hear you perfectly.
Oh, good. Thank you. Okay, this is Beyond Eternity by Silvana Five, and there is a SoundCloud for this, I think, by Stelina.
No, not for hers. Not for this one.
No? SoundCloud read by
No,
Stelina.
Ma'am.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
By Silvana or by Stelina?
The poem's by Silvana, and SoundCloud read by Stelina, it says, so I presume.
I don't see it.
Okay, no problem.
I don't see the recording. Sorry, Silvana. Okay, here we go. Go ahead, Katie.
No problem. Just bear with me a second, because I don't know where I was, and I'll have to find my way back. Oh, dear. Oh, yeah, got it. Okay. Beyond Eternity. You were here and gone tomorrow. This all-consuming grief, pain that scorches through my veins, it will not be easy letting go of a love that filled my life. You have left an ocean of emptiness. I fear to wake and stand alone. I live in the shade. You are my light in the darkness, my warmth on a winter's night, music that made my heart sing. I am bereft. I struggle to see the beauty of a sunset, to hear the song of the blackbird, to feel the magic of the seasons. But the memories I have of you are mine and mine alone. They are out of reach, beyond eternity, hidden away in my secret treasures. They will always remain bright and beautiful, for you have left your footprint across my heart. End poem.
Oh, my goodness, this is just breaks my heart. And, you know, when you lose somebody, especially when they've been in your life for many years, it is so hard where she says here, I fear to wake and stand alone. I live in the shade. You are my light in the darkness, my warmth on winter's night, music that made my heart sing. You know, some of us, you know, tend to be a little shy, and when we lose somebody like that, that warmth and encouragement that they gave us to move on, and, you know, they're not there anymore, but what she does has is memories, and I think these are beautiful memories that she has, Silvana, and I'm sorry for your loss, and you did such a beautiful read of her poem, Katie. Would you like to comment on it?
Well, there's no ambiguity about this. There is somebody who was so much loved and is now lost and missed so much. It's beautifully written and such a beautiful way to say goodbye I think it really touched me. Like every one of us.
It's okay.
Sorry, I'm glad I got to read it. It was beautiful, and it was really heartfelt. So beautifully done. Thank you.
Yes, it was. Thank you so much, Katie. And Irish Rose, what did you think of Savannah's poem?
Wow. I really thought it was very heart-touching. And she opens it, you were here and gone tomorrow. And then all of a sudden the grief just comes in and grabs her. And she feels pain that scorches her veins. And she knows that she can't let go. And she's looking out at life now, and she's lonely, and she's alone. And the profound reality of being alone is devastating. And so I can only speak to what she's expressing, and I can only extend my condolences to that. But she did an excellent job in honoring the memory of the person that she loves. And she brought a very touching memory into my heart to say that it's great to have a love like that, that you will never, ever forget. That's pretty powerful.
Great. Thank you. What a beautiful comment, Irish Rose. Laurent?
What in God's name can you do when you lose a limb, and that limb happens to be an organ called the heart? I can't begin to imagine the depths in which your emotions plunge, the sense of helplessness, the sense of nakedness, the sense of loneliness, of isolation, of desperation. What will I do? How will I survive without half of me or more of me? All of that is contained in this beautiful little poem that says so much, so well. It's a shame that it's so sad.
Great. Thank you so much. And Greg, thank you, Laura. Gray?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Yeah. The feeling of loss is palpable in this, right? You know, you can feel her sorrow and her love that she had for this person. And, I mean, you know, the pain reeks through the words, like darkness in the night. You know, it's powerful and it's palpable as well. So beautifully done. Great read, Weaver.
Thanks. Thank you. And my sweet Weaver, we are ready for our next poem. You might want to refresh your page because Nuno added a poem too, so I don't know if we're going to have time for both of them. If not, I'll add it to the beginning of next week's show.
Yeah, I don't think we do because there's this one and another one as well. So has Frank gone off? Is Frank still there?
Yes, he has. I think he's in the group. I don't think he said goodnight. So why don't we whichever
one
you want to put up next? So we only have 5 minutes left. So let's do something short. I don't know how long Nuno's is, or Nuno's is kind of long. Okay, so let me check Jack. Jack's a short.
Yeah, got that one. Okay, no problem. Coming up. Dun, 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 dun. There we are. Blossoms in Spring by Jack Tonkovich. And Gray, would you care to read this for us, please?
Sure, you betcha. Blossoms in the Spring by Jack Tonkovich. Pieces of blossoms, white shirts and skirts, tattered and splattered, ripped and torn, blown on the wind, tossed till morn. Peach, cherry, apple, plum, rolled in brandy, soaked in rum. Drunken sailors all ashore, dance with the fellows. They beg for more. Propose diamonds and the moon, a proper cheese. You spin and tease. Silver spoons may just bring June, and green leaf teas sail the seas. End poem.
That's cute.
He is so funny. He says, old spring and such, peace. You know, I really got to say, I loved his rhyme scheme here. I enjoyed listening to Gray read it. I love his descriptions of the blossoms and springs that he talks about, the blown on the wind, tossed till morn, peach, cherry, apple, plum, you know, rolled in brandy, soaked in rum, you know. That's one of the things that all gardeners hate is that, you know, the eyes of March, where you just hope that the wind doesn't tear all the blossoms off of your tree, because if it does, you're not going to have your plums rolled in brandy and rum, because there won't be any plums on the tree, but maybe two or three. You'd have to, like, make a fruit cocktail out of that. I enjoyed this poem. It was enjoyable, and it was funny. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
It was lovely. It really was such a lighthearted look at spring and what the wind can do. And I just, like you, I love that. Rolled in brandy, soaked in rum. It sounds like a good day to me. I was quite drunk in sailors and all ashore. I once used to go on board a ship that was docked very close to us, a naval ship, and they always kept a tot of rum for me. So I got about three tots of rum. It was wonderful. I was drunk all the time. So, yes, wonderful. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Katie. And Irish Rose.
Oh, I thought, I'm going to try not to say cute, but I thought it was cute. And I really enjoyed the close and near rhymes that he used, that and the ends that really strung it together, you know, and held it nice and tight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really enjoyable poem and an enjoyable read and a nice closer.
Great. Thank you. How about you, Laurent?
Yes, liberty with a sailor in the spring. There are many blossoms indeed. This is kind of relatable, kind of amusing, kind of real. Kind of just a little bit of whimsy in the spring. Charming.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And Gray, you did a great job of reading it. What did you think?
I liked it. I really enjoyed his rhyme scheme as well. And it was a pleasure to read it. You know, it had a great cadence to it. So that was fantastic. Excellent job.
Agreed. And I'm sorry we could not get to all the poems. We had a late start with all the problems with the phones. So hopefully next week we'll be able to get through more. And I want to thank Phil so much, and Katie and Irish Rose and Laurent and Gray Eyes and Frank for calling in. Also Hope and Nuno, which I thoroughly enjoyed that. It was wonderful to hear their voices. And everybody who hung out in the crowd, Selena and Nicholas, we appreciate it. I love you guys. I enjoy reading poetry with you and your comments. And this is just, you know, a wonderful show with all these great picks and open poetry. I love you guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, my dear.
Love you guys.
Good night.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Love you.
Bye-bye.